This is Ocean Commotion, the 7-part series about the effects of global change on Southeast Alaska.
From whale migration to sea star disease, Sitka is one shell of a place, and we are sure you'll love this podcast as much as we loved being here.
Hey, Rosie.
Yeah?
What's your favorite thing you've seen in Sitka?
Definitely diving in kelp forests, dropping down under a big golden canopy, seeing my bubbles travel up the towering kelp, and feeling greenlings and stellar sea lions watching me, and they're like, what is this weird human doing in my kelp forest? It's amazing.
That sounds really, really cool.
Yeah, and also the thing about kelp forests here in Sitka is that they're so special. We have giant kelp here, which is the most common kelp around the world, and we're actually at its most northern range.
So what is so special about being at giant kelp's northern range?
This means we're at the species' highest latitude, which is where climate change is happening the fastest. So the kelp forests here are on the leading edge of climate change research, meaning that changes we see in the kelp forests here will help us give us insight to what will happen to kelp forests around the globe.
We're Rosie,
Melissa,
May,
and Eliana.
And we are students at the University of California, Santa Cruz, researching what's happening in the ocean and on the shore out here in Sitka, Alaska.
Here in Sitka, kelp forests are an important habitat for juvenile herring and salmon because they provide food and shelter from predators.
Yeah, and not only that, they also provide habitat for rockfish, lingcod, and abalone, some really delicious and important species for fisheries.
Hold up, May, did you mention something about herring? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I did.
Because I actually just learned that herring use kelp as spawning grounds around these parts, which not only sounds so beautiful to see what seems like a snowy kelp forest, but this is also a super important nutritious traditional food source for Tlingit peoples and other indigenous communities out here in Southeast Alaska.
I have some really bad news for you, Rosie.
No, don't say it.
Oh, man.
With the kelp forests here in Sitka seeing the impacts of climate change first, we are seeing threats to these local kelp forests. One of these threats is warmer water events, which could negatively impact kelp growth and also change how the critters behave and survive, which is important for how the whole kelp forest functions.
Ugh, not warmer water events. Spending this month researching here in Sitka has really highlighted how much climate change impacts the overall just interconnectedness of different marine habitats and the species that live in them. My research partner and I have actually been spending time in the lab studying relationships between sea stars and urchins in response to what scientists expect the future ocean temperatures to be like. And our results have found that urchins exposed to warmer waters are eating a lot more kelp than the urchins in current ocean conditions. So when relating these lab findings to an actual kelp forest, warm waters equal hungry urchins, hungrier urchins equal less kelp. So overall, I think future conditions could mean less kelp.
Hey, May, do you know who eats urchins?
Yeah, otters, right?
Well, you're not wrong, but I was looking for sea stars. I'm guessing most Sitkins remember sea star wasting disease, which hit the West Coast in 2013. And if you don't, there's another podcast in this series that really goes into it. This sea star loss had big effects on kelp forests across the West Coast, as well as locally, because important urchin predators were lost, and those urchins munched on more kelp, which meant more kelp forest loss.
And with climate change, scientists expect more marine diseases like this one, which could cause more cascading effects on kelp forest ecosystems all around the world.
So what do we do if we want to take care of our beloved kelp forests?
I'm so glad you asked that. Because Alaska's doing something really exciting right now to help replicate some of these benefits of wild kelp forests, which is kelp farming. The state is leading the charge on mariculture, and there's a lot of really interesting research happening right now about how to grow kelp sustainably with wild kelp forest ecosystems in mind.
Rosie, that's really cool, but what if I don't have the resources to start a kelp farm?
If you're just an average person, you can ask representatives to protect resources and vote for legislation that confronts climate change issues.
Sitkins, whatever you take away from this, I hope you have a little more appreciation and pride in your backyard kelp forests.
And to conclude, we'd really like to thank the Sitka community and traditional stewards of this land, the Tlingit peoples, for caring for this island and the kelp forest for millennia.
We would also like to thank the Sitka Sound Science Center for letting us use their facilities and lab equipment.
Lastly, we would like to thank all of our mentors and educators for helping us learn how to be respectful scientists and communicators.
Ocean Commotion is made up of undergraduates from the University of California in Santa Cruz, who report to you about your local marine systems in partnership with Raven Radio and Sitka Sound Science Center.
we'd like to acknowledge that for the past month, we have been doing our research on Tlingit land. The Tlingit people have been indigenous to this land for over 10,000 years. Gunawchish to the Tlingit people for their stewardship of Tlingit Ani since time immemorial and today.